Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from Jesus Christ our Lord. There's many different conceptions and thoughts about who God is. A lot of the video that we showed at the beginning and our whole series is rethinking religion. People have so many concepts about God. Have you ever thought about what we think about God and our relationship to Him and who God is? Says a lot about who we are. And our search to find out and really learn who God is also defining who we are and what our lives mean. A great example of this, we heard about Job and his suffering and how he's crying out to God, how they discuss over and over again what's going on as suffering is going on. Suffering kind of brings this out as we wonder who God is and who we are. Another interesting person that you can think about this who suffered and was kind of saying, God, who are you and who am I? What's my purpose? You think of Moses. He was this guy who was saved. The Egyptians were killing the Israelites, but he was saved and raised in the house of Pharaoh, even though he was an Israelite. That must have kind of tore him up. He was wondering who he is. Is he an Egyptian or an Israelite? And how did that boil over? Well, he ended up killing an Egyptian. And then, was he then welcomed into the Israelites? Hey, our Savior's here. No. In fact, they said, you're going to cause more trouble for us. And the Egyptians didn't seem like they wanted to cover it up, and so he runs away. As he's probably away from Egypt, wondering what his purpose is and saying, who am I? God comes to him, right? God comes to him and says, go to Egypt and help bring my people out. Do you know what he then asks? He says, who are you? What am I supposed to say who you are? I think as he was going through this suffering and then being asked to do this, he's saying, God, who are you? And who am I? When we understand who God is and who we are, it shows a lot about who we are, doesn't it? And I think many people in this world are struggling with their purpose and meaning in life because they don't know who God is and what His relationship is with us, and then they struggle to know what our lives are about. And they struggle with what comes in our lives. One of the biggest things of that is suffering. And so today, we look at the meaning of suffering. What does suffering mean? As Paul writes to the Romans, we know that life for the Christians in Rome and in a culture who did not like Christianity, it wasn't easy. We know in Rome later it's going to be some of the greatest persecutions against Christians. So Paul is going to write to the Romans and talk about who God is and what we can do with suffering and what it means for us. As we look here, though, it's not just about our suffering. There's more to it. As Paul writes in chapter 5, he says, therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to say we're justified by faith through Jesus, but how did this happen? Later in verse 9, since we now have been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? How are we justified? That big word, justified, that the rest of the world really doesn't understand, but here we use it in church a lot. Just as if I had not sinned, to be declared not guilty. How do we receive that? Through the blood of Christ, and we are rescued from God's wrath. How are we rescued from God's wrath? Through the suffering of Christ. So what does that mean? That Christ's suffering reveals who God is. That God loves you so much to send His Son. to not only send his son to live among us, but he didn't come to be a king and to sit on a throne, but to suffer. And if you want to know who God is, people are searching for God, and they wonder, what does he look like? What does he want to do? What does he want or care about us? Look at the cross. That is your God who loves you, and that is what we need to know about God. That God came to live a perfect life for you, and as he wrote or tells us in the gospel lesson, to have these horrible things happen to him. Things that the disciples and Peter said, no way! But that's your God. And so people are looking for God, but the truth is in Christ's suffering, God is revealed to us. You see his love, his mercy. It's there. What else does it mean for us? Well, in that first verse, it says, therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God. What does that mean to have peace with God? Christ's suffering means we have peace. Christ's suffering means peace for us between God and man. The world is searching for peace. The world just wants peace in so many ways, in wars, in relationships. There's sin everywhere. Sin in the world, sin you do, sin that other people do to you, and it's just so hard to find peace. You might be restless at night, worried about the future, worried about what has happened, stressed about all the things. It's hard to find peace. But in Christ, through his suffering, it says, you have peace. Not just a little bit of an emotion or even just a temporary pause to a war, but a true peace. An objective reality that you are forgiven and nothing can take that away. And if you can have peace with God and you know that he loves you so much to do this, then what do you have to fear? What do you have to worry about if God has loved you so much? And do you have to worry about, will God provide for this or that or that? And Jesus talks about in the gospel lesson, we get so focused on the world and the things we see. But he says, the most important is the spiritual things. The spiritual war that is going on, and Jesus has won and fought that battle for you. And if you understand that, then you can understand suffering in your life as well. As he says that we stand in peace, we stand in that because of the grace he's given us through Jesus, we then have a hope. But where does that hope come from? And why do you need hope? If things are going well, do you need hope? Do you have anything to hope for if everything's smooth and dandy? No, right? Because you're just enjoying what you have and you're not thinking about the future because you're just basking in all the great things right now. But what about in suffering? He explains then, not only so, but we also glory in our suffering because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. When you understand God's love for you and that he has got everything taken care of, especially your spiritual life, your eternity, then we can see suffering in a different way, right? And I think what you can say is our view of suffering defines our lives. Because what do we see here that he says suffering is good? That suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope, and hope does not put us to shame. So this suffering is good because it leads to the hope that we have no reason to shame but to trust in Jesus. Does the rest of the world think that about suffering? That suffering's a good thing? Well, if you don't believe in God, what does it mean about you and your life and your purpose here? You look a little bit at evolution, right? And if God doesn't exist, if we just came about by accident and our purpose is just to eat, drink, and be merry, to enjoy life, then is suffering any good? Does anything good come from suffering? And if there is no God, is there any afterlife? And so if a loved one dies, what hope is there? Because it's just this life. And that sadness, that pain, where's the answers? There's no point, there's no purpose for that suffering or a disease or something that you deal with your whole life or all these things. And people will just run from that. And they'll be angry and just say, why does this have to happen? What about you and me as Christians? How can we view the suffering and the difficulties in our lives? That God still has us and He has a purpose and a plan. That suffering is not to be avoided because Christ came to suffer. And if our God, our Savior, suffered, then suffering has a purpose. In our lives, we see that purpose, right? That we can grow in our understanding of what this life is about, that it's not all about this life, to persevere through difficulties, that life is not easy, but God will be with us in that. That perseverance character, to not be so angry or bitter, but to trust and to have a joy when all others would say, how can you have joy at this? And finally, a hope. A hope not like the rest of the world, I wish this will happen, but we know a certainty because God's words and promises ring true, even in the midst of suffering. And so, as we look at that suffering, we see our lives. What do we know about our lives? That, hey, sometimes the things we deal with, sometimes it's our fault, right? Doesn't mean all suffering, but we know this is also shows the love of Christ for us. He says that at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. And a few verses later, but God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's one of the most beautiful passages around. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We need to remember that we are saints and sinners, that God loved you and redeemed you and saves you and forgives you, even though you're a sinner, even though you don't deserve it. That's the whole point of grace, that we don't deserve any of this. But notice, it's not, well, you have to make up or try to be good or do a certain amount for God to love you. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. One of the maybe best pictures of this is the prodigal son, right? The prodigal son comes back and he's saying to his father, just make me a servant. I don't even deserve to be a part of your house. And the father then says, you're right. You know, you need to earn your way back in. For about a year, you can work out and work out in the fields, and then maybe we can welcome you back into the family. No, he doesn't do that. He forgives him and welcomes him back into the house and throws a party. This shows the love of God, that it's based off of grace and mercy, and it's not about we have to do these things for God to love us, but God loves us in spite of who we are. And in spite of the sins we commit and the consequences they may bring, God loves us and He redeems us. And He forgives us and helps us in our difficulties, in our sins, in our crosses we carry, in those things that are not because of sins we've done, but we still suffer. Those times we cry out and say, God, why? Our Lord is there. But notice then what this really means for us. Says If we've been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved through God's wrath through him? For if while we are God's enemies, we are reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more have we been reconciled? Shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received reconciliation. We're at peace. We know what suffering means, and so what does that do for us? Christ's suffering, the suffering of Christ, it sets us free. It sets us free because as we look that we're loved and redeemed, not by what we do, I don't have to look at my works and say, God needs this for me to get to heaven. But instead, I can serve and love others. God uses my works, my good deeds, to love those around me, doesn't he? We're free just to love and serve because God loves us. And we can be motivated and compelled by his love. And so we're freed from the burden of the law and that I must do this, I must earn God's love, but no, I can go and serve and love and share that love with others. And how else does that free us? It frees us from the greatest fears and worries of this life. The words of our hymn, the last verse, and when from death I'm free, I'll sing on, I'll sing on. And when from death I'm free, I'll sing on. We're also freed to not fear death. And that thing that so many people just have no answers to and fear their whole life and they want to avoid death at all costs. We can see death. And even though there's sadness and tears, we can rejoice and know what it means. That if we're loved and redeemed, that if our Savior died and rose again, then that means for us that we, though we will die, we will live forever. And knowing that, knowing we're loved and redeemed and have eternal life ahead, we again are freed to live this life in suffering, in difficulty, in good times and bad, free. Because we know God has a purpose not just for a short time in this life, but a purpose for eternity. That God loves you so much to send his son to die for you, to bring you to heaven. That this suffering that you go through, that we go through, that Christ has suffered for you, and that love means we're forgiven and set free now and into eternity. Amen. Please stand.